Before you drive the all-new Nissan Rogue, you gotta ask yourself, how rogue are you gonna go? We talking be one with nature in the desert rogue? Go snowshoeing in Alaska rogue? Or take the long way home just because kind of rogue? Just a question. But with five available drive modes, you're sure to find the answer.
Go rogue in the all-new, fiercely reimagined 2021 Nissan Rogue. Now with the most standard safety features in its class.
See owner's manual for important safety information. Auto Pacific segmentation. 2021 Nissan Rogue versus latest in market competitors. Base models compared.
Me, but also you. The Pharaoh fast forwards his favorite foreign film. Powder donut. Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh man, that's a tongue twister, huh? I'm sorry, I'm going to need a few more minutes. Bulbous Walrus. The Bulbous Walrus.
The Name Your Price tool. Only from Progressive.
The owl ran afoul of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
See on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network, FM 107.7 New Orleans, where we discuss anything and everything beyond the scope of normal. Remember to like us on YouTube, Instagram, and now Twitch TV. I'm Jenny Nicasio, along with my co-host, Sean Kelly, Jason Iampietro from Pittsburgh Paranormal Society. We're a part of a group of passionate paranormal investigators who are interested in hearing your unusual paranormal activity in your home or business. We'll use high-tech equipment that'll pick up what the human eye can't see. Together with our team of professional paranormal investigators in the tri-state area and across the country, we'll gather the information and that we find, and we'll put it on a CD or a flash drive for you. And Sean Kelly, the founder, will go over it with you. So if you have an investigation and you'd like us to check it out, make sure you message Sean at Pittsburgh Paranormal Society or ChasingProphecyRadio.com. Happy Thursday, everyone. So glad to have you back with us tonight.
Hey, happy Thursday.
Happy
glad to be
Thursday.
Here.
Great. Yes. I'm so glad to have you guys back here after this crazy whirlwind week. We had a lot of things going on. You had a couple investigations but were canceled due to inclement weather or somebody sick.
Well, actually, that it got rescheduled. We're back on for this Saturday, and the client actually sent some more video footage of some stuff that's going on over there. So this is going to be this might be one for the books if it's as active Saturday as it has been.
Okay, no, which one was this one? Was this by the mansion in by the Clark Bar guy? Or
Right. Yeah, up in North Versailles across from the Clark Bar family mansion.
Yeah.
That spirit followed them home. And so we're going to get to the bottom of it.
Cool.
Yeah, there was, she sent two videos. One, the shadow person was caught during the daytime. And she caught another photo of the shadow person walking at night. It's pretty awesome.
Okay, when you say she brought it home, where'd she get it at?
She didn't bring it home with her. What it is the house that she lives in is on the property of the Clark Mansion, one of them. And so her whole housing area is totally haunted. And they do believe it's coming from the mansion of Clark Bar guy.
Okay. Now, this is one of his mansions. Is this just a residential mansion? Is this a country home, or is this, how many mansions does he have? Is it five or six?
Something like five, I do believe. Yeah. But this one's up in North Versailles, and it's pretty gloomy. No one lives in there. No one lives on the property. And I'm hoping that we can get a chance while a couple of us are doing her house. The other couple people can go over to the mansion and just do the yard, you know.
Oh, yeah. I noticed that it was up for sale. Is it still up for sale? So, you know, dear Sean, you can buy it. You can start doing investigations there. Or Jason, go for it.
Yeah.
Well, very good.
Make it headquarters.
Yeah. Yes. We're going to have to do a live one of these nights to get some evidence on there. That'd be cool. But, I was also checking out the CIA declassified files. Did Sean, did you get a chance to see any of that? Did you look it over?
I didn't really get a chance. I glanced. Yeah, I really didn't have time this week to do that.
Jason, did you have a chance to look it over?
Yeah, I've been looking over a little bit. I actually found a page where kind of there's like a bunch of PDF files that people can download individually from the CIA's released information. And it kind of gives you a summary of different things in different years. And there's a lot of stuff. I mean, I'm seeing stuff from the 70s, the 50s. So they definitely hit a lot of, UFO information. And now that it's out there, for the public, we're able to really dive in and see.
Yeah. Did anything catch your eyes? It's interesting.
I mean, it's all, some of it seems, it might be a little like
repetitive.
That really happened. Yeah, yes. Exactly. Yep. And it's like, well, you figure, okay, back in 1957, what kind of equipment did they really have back then? What did they really experience? Because technology has advanced so much to today's date, we're able to really hone in a lot more on different information. But it's still, I'm glad it's all documented, and I'm definitely going to read through all of them when I get a free minute. Yeah.
Well, I did find a couple. I did read through them because I'm a nerd. Okay. I did read through some, and there was one. Well, actually, there was a couple that coincide with each other, and one of them was apparently a doctor brought some evidence of some kind to their attention, and he brought it into one of the offices, and we don't know what it was, but it was evidence that they believe that was some kind of a extraterrestrial origin. And I do believe a lot of the stuff was blacked out. And I have one file. A doctor was contacted and hand delivered an object to the office, evidence that he brought to the internal so-and-so's attention, but it was material, and it was you can look this up. I have the number. I believe it was CO551-5625. If you go to the declassification website, there's a couple different websites that actually have this, and you can go read. That was the PDF. But then there was another one that was pretty cool, and it was about Project Blue Book. Now, I know a lot about Project Blue Book because I did a lot of work with, I was an investigator for MUFON, and when I wrote my trilogy, I have Project Blue Book in it. And it goes into the Roswell, and then the second book goes into the underground alien bases. And I always pronounce this wrong. It's New Mexico. It's D-U-L-C-E. I think it's Doice. Doice. Is that how you say it? it goes into the underground bases, and there's supposed to be seven levels of alien bases that where the aliens actually work with the military. So when we're getting into this and the declassification of the UFO files and the underground bases, and that's where we're going to get into our guests. But before we get started, I want to thank my good friends at Audible. Winter's the perfect time to download that Audible. Can't sleep, listen to it at night, kind of helps you fall asleep. There's a lot of different titles, and you can listen across all devices without losing your spot. And if you don't know what to get, you can lay rollover so you can binge watch or listen anytime you want. And if you go to www.audibletrial.com/chasingprophecyradio, you can get a free premium trial. So I just want to throw that in there, but so help us out. And you also can donate to us through PayPal at gen3963@comcast.net through PayPal. We could use the donations to help with our travel expenses to our investigations and to keep us on the radio We all have jobs. So I just thought that there. So it helps us, you know, keep going. Buy equipment, you name it. Okay. So let's get into our guest tonight. They're a husband and wife team, which is really cool. And I love it. So Andrew and Julie, now let me make sure I pronounce this right. Oyen, I hope I didn't screw it up. Andrew published his first book in 2013 on the same subject of Southwest UFO triangle theory. Andrew is a member of MUFON, or I'm not sure if you're still a member, and has been conducting his own UFO ufology research from 1996. He kind of beat me there. His interest began with an overview of the 1947 Roswell UFO incidents. They all thought that was a weather balloon. Okay. Yep. But the triangle is not a ship. It's a place in the Southwest between Colorado and Texas. The three points on the triangle are national parks. It is Andrew's theory that these three parks were created to hide alien underground bases like we were talking about. So good evening and welcome to Chasing Prophecy, Andrew and Julie.
Hello.
Hey, hi, thank you very much for having us tonight.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Great to have you here tonight. So you guys, let me, tell us how you got started in all this together as a husband and wife team.
Oh, certainly. My brother threw me a Roswell book back in 1991, several years before I met Julie, which for the first time got me interested in the concept of visiting aliens. Then we married in 95, and in 1996, a great little book came out from the International UFO Museum in Roswell called The Jim Ragsdale Story. And I ate that book up because it had all kinds of details in it, even a map. And in the back, Stanton Friedman had interviewed Jim Ragsdale and thought it was the real deal. So with that map in hand, I ran over to my wife and I said, have you ever been to New Mexico? Would you consider going?
I was so excited. I'm like, Santa Fe, we're going to go shopping and restaurants and go rent airplanes. And I was just ready to go.
And I said, well, maybe we can do some of that too, but I really wanted to do something else.
And I said, well, what else? What did you have in mind?
Well, I got this map right here. I want to go see where a UFO crashed.
And I said, okay, let's go.
And that shocked me. I was really taking a risk there. One year into the marriage, I didn't know what she'd think about it. But 2 weeks later, we were on a plane to New Mexico. And that was a four-day adventure through the great state there. We went to national parks, Carlsbad Caverns, Roswell, with the map in hand. And having talked to individuals at the museum at that time, we found the Jim Ragsdale crash site area, and then the next day we went out to the Corona area near the debris site. We didn't get on the ranch, but we got near it. And just taking it all in, it was a lot of fun. And at the time, I was taking photos with the 35mm camera and took maybe 9 rolls of film. And when we got back 2 weeks later, I'm looking through the photos we got back. And everything seemed natural, okay, until I got to this one photograph that Julie took of me.
So I want to set the stage here. So we were close to Brazel's Ranch, and Andy says, and we've rented a Jeep, and Andy says, you know what, I want to get a picture on top of the Jeep, so I'm going to jump up at the Jeep, and you take a picture of me pointing where the UFO would have come in and where it would have crashed, and I'll point to it. I said, go for it. Jump up there. And I took the picture. Now, mind you, New Mexico has azure blue skies, especially we were there in the springtime. Gorgeous. Nothing in the air, nothing around us, but blue, blue sky. And then we developed this film.
And what I was doing was I was pointing to Boy Scout Mountain, which we could see 30 miles away. And supposedly that's where the crash had happened, according to Jim Ragsdale. So I get the pictures back and we're looking, and behind me is a cloud, a small cloud, but it's right behind me in the shape of what could be a UFO.
Like a flying saucer.
And it just what the heck, you know, blew my mind. Where did that come from? What was it? And that one picture set me off. It just pushed me into research mode.
But here's the crazy thing. So on the picture, Andy's pointing with his left hand extended out. And his back hand, he's got his elbow pulled in a 45 degree angle with his hand tipping. Like if you were to take your thumb down, facing down, and your pinky facing up. So imagine that's the trajectory that he's moving his hand in. This cloud had that same angle behind him. It is the freakiest thing.
So I don't know if it was the evil eye looking at me or a half-cloaked UFO checking me out. Because the night before, we were up near the Ragsdale crash site and making lots of noise and looking for aliens. Didn't see anything.
Saw lots of rabbits and deer coming. Oh, my gosh, the drive at night. You've got these big old jackrabbits coming into the headlights, and we're doing everything trying not to hit them. And then next to us, we had deer, like, jumping over fences. It was so weird.
It was a crazy night. But we had a wonderful vacation, and this photograph set me off into research. What's going on there? Why did it happen? Why me? And so we know that several authors have written all about the Roswell UFO incident, and they all focus on the area, Roswell, the crash site, the debris site, what happened. My thought was, okay, it happened. So, but is there anything significant of that part of New Mexico? And I really didn't see anything significant. It's just something crashed there. Well, okay, so where did it come from? Where was it going? Was there a possibility to figure that out? So I drew a line on a map, several maps, between the debris site, the crash site, and I figured, well, maybe I got a flight path here. So I drew it. It was almost north-south, so I drew it further north and further south, and I'm looking for significant places. And I did find that it crossed in the north over a national park in Colorado, and then to the south, it crossed over another national park in West Texas. And I'm thinking, well, that's really odd. That's strange. And a little more research and help of relatives, I was told about at the time, the research by Christopher O'Brien of the Mysterious Valley. Mm-hmm. That's up in Colorado where you have the cattle mutilations, UFO sightings, and he writes in there the possible legend, Indian legend, of the ant people who live underground and the flying seed pods that come out of the nearby mountain Blanca Peak. So I'm thinking, huh, could a UFO have launched a trip from Blanca Peak going south? And if it did, why would it go south? Why would it cross that area? So the next thing I did was I had more conversations with the UFO Museum at that time. And I said, you know, everyone's trying to prove the crash site. You don't really have, we don't have debris. We don't have photographs. But what else could you find that might help prove it? And Boy Scout Mountain is in the BLM area, and they take periodic aerial photographs. So I, with the help of the museum, we did a little research on what aerial photography we could find of the time. And we found one in 1946, about a year before the crash. And you could zoom in on the area of the so-called crash site and get a look at it. And in the Jim Ragsdale book, it shows several photographs taken in 96, which showed several downed trees on a pathway. So they're saying, hey, look, tree, this whatever crashed here knocked over trees. Well, maybe you could see the same thing from a satellite image. So we got a 1946 image, and now we try to find the 1947. And through the people who are hired to research, the answer was, well, it was in the catalog, but now it's not. It's no longer available to public viewing. And with that, we got maps with blacked out areas where photography was no longer allowed at that time. And that was from nearly from Boy Scout Mountain down to Guadalupe Peak. That's the next national park to the south where the UFO could have been flying to.
Hey,
so That kind of...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, go. Go.
Okay. I was just wondering, when you were out there investigating for your UFOs and stuff like that, when you had your equipment, did you have any malfunctions in your equipment while you were near the sites of the UFO crash?
Did not. Really, all we had was a camera.
And that was like analog. We're not even talking digital.
Right. We didn't have video with us. So, no, that did not occur. Sorry.
Did you like have a weird feeling like someone was, I'm being honest with you, like someone was like watching you, or did you just feel this uneasiness around where you were at?
I'd like to address that. When we were on Boy Scout Mountain, we were there at an ungodly hour, was like midnight, something like that. And when we got out of the car to go hike around, there was
hello.
Sorry.
That's the aliens.
I apologize. So anyhow, when we got out of the car, there was no sound. It's like you couldn't hear the rustling of the trees. You couldn't hear anything scurrying. You couldn't feel anything. You know what I'm saying? It was like dead.
Yes.
And when we finally hiked to the area of the crash site, I had that creeped out feeling that you couldn't hear anything, but you felt you weren't alone.
Right.
That's actually a really funny story, because it started out in the afternoon where we just rolled into Roswell, went to the museum, got directions to the crash site, how to drive there. And then we had a Mexican dinner and maybe one or two margaritas. And
we had a pitcher.
And Julie says, hey, I want to do something. You know, it's the sun's going down, and we're going to 86 this phone. I'm sorry.
Okay.
She said, I really want to do something. And I'm thinking, you know, I've just drove 8 hours today around New Mexico, and I'm tired. I don't know what she has in mind, but she said, you know that thing you want to do tomorrow morning? Let's go do it now. Which was drive another 60 miles to Boy Scout Mountain. And so, okay, you know, we're here. Let's go do it. So we drove the 60 mountains. The sun's going down, the mountains in the sunset. And we get up there, and it's a creepy night. It was very scary and cool at the same time.
And because it's scary, Andy goes, whatever you do, don't get out of the car.
I thought we could drive and just look around.
And all of a sudden, the car got kind of jackknifed, even though we were in a four-wheel drive. And I'm like, he's like, oh, I'm like, I can't get this out of reverse. So we're sitting there with the engine off. And then he looks at me and he goes, get out of the car. I said, wait, you just said don't get out of the car. Well, he's like, what are we going to do?
Well, yeah, what are we going to do? We're sitting here. We got to go. So so from there, we had to hike about a quarter mile, but we did it. And it was
eerie. Like you said, it was just that eerie feeling, you know,
but had a lot of fun. So
when Sean said about the, any kind of equipment dysfunction, what about your car, your Jeep?
That was, you know what, that was interesting, because like we said, it's a four wheel drive car. We should have been able to get it out of this jack. I don't know how we were like jackknifed into this rut in the road, and we couldn't get out of it.
Okay, so your engine didn't turn off like you see in all those stories that the engine...
I'm afraid that might have been a margarita and user.
You got out of it later. But.
Well, you know, going there was all downhill at that point. It was getting back uphill, and we did get it in a four-wheel drive, so we made it home. Okay. But it was user error.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm certain of it.
Okay, you tell me that now.
But all that led to further research, and if... your viewers would like to, maybe at the end of the show here, go to our website. It's ufotriangle.com. And several pages there to look at, but one of them is UFO Triangle Area Illustrated. There's like 50 illustrations I've drawn there of the history of this triangle. And the triangle is made up of three points on national parks between Colorado and West Texas. And it shows a very strange, odd human behavior for the last several thousand years. And what I mean by that is several Native Indian tribes formed around the triangle. Mm-hmm. What brought them there? And then Spanish explorers went through that area and took the land. French explorers went through there and took the land. Then when Texas created their own state, the annexation, they took that land. And then the U.S. took it. And then shortly after that, in the 1800s, 8 or 9 military forts ended up on this triangle. So lots of activity, lots of inviting of humanity to this one location. It just seems all very strange. And then through today, I created a larger map with all kinds of items on the triangle, cities, towns, parks, airports, all kinds of activity on this triangle. And it just begs to look at it from a concept of, were we invited there? And so the book, Alien Park Dunes, is half research, and the back is about 50 pages of the triangle research, and the front is a magnificent sci-fi story built on the research. So
I pretty much went through most of it. I like how you wrote the book. It's sort of like a diary. And I bet that was easy to put into a screenplay the way you have it set up.
That was the next step. An individual found me on Facebook, loved the story, says he writes screenplays, and we've been working to create a screenplay for this sci-fi story, and we did publish one. And if you want to know a little bit about the screenplay, we just made a YouTube video about the opening scenes of it. It's called Alien Park Dunes, uh-huh. YouTube. And we'd love for you to take a look at it.
Yeah, I did already. I did take, and our listeners can go. I did go through the whole thing. Who was that narrated it? Was that you?
That was Seth Moore, a nice gentleman in the Midwest. He's an actor and voiceover artist. He did a great job.
Does the perfect family meal exist? We think so. With 9 pieces of crispy, battered, and breaded Popeyes chicken, add in your choice of 2 large mouthwatering sides and top it all off with 4 buttery, flaky biscuits. All for just $19.99. Yep, you heard that right. Just $19.99. That sounds like a perfect family meal to us. So what are you waiting for? Get your Popeyes 9-piece family bundle today.
Limited time at select U.S. restaurants. Price and participation will vary. In restaurant only. Tax may apply.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Well, yeah. Getting back to the triangle, I don't know. Sometimes I think that creators like ourselves, there's like this telepathy of sort of like clairvoyant. You have the triangle. You did the research on the triangle, and you noticed that there was a triangle in my story. My main character that is an alien. He has a tattoo on him that represents the triangle too, and it's just kind of strange.
So
it's kind of like, I wonder if there's some kind of a cosmic influence for us people who are interested in this domain, you know.
That's very possible, Jenny. Very possible.
Kind of strange, because I looked over, I go, wait a minute, my character has a triangle tattoo, because it goes back to his origin, where he's from. Wow. And he was born on Earth. So like, you're in that area with the triangle. Now, how far would you say that this triangle is close to Groom Lake? And how close would you say that would be close to?
Well, our triangle is between Colorado and Texas. And
okay, so
Area 51's over in Nevada, a few states over.
Okay, so they're not connected.
No, and I wouldn't think they would be. See, what I get out of Area 51 is we test vehicles and study vehicles there, mm-hmm. that we've either made or collected. And don't know if you, of course, you probably recall Bob Lazar and his work out.
Uh-huh.
he said, well, go out there on Wednesday nights and you can see them flying a captured UFO that they've manipulated so we can fly it. So back in the 90s, I spent a Wednesday night out there looking around, and yeah, south of Area 51 in the sky, saw this white orb doing some maneuvers for a while. So what was it? I don't know. It's too far away to really identify, but it was kind of cool to watch.
What about Deuce? Is it the same? Do you believe that they're connected to Colorado in some which way? Because they're all underground.
Could be through tunnels, maybe?
The tunnels. Okay. Now, the tunnels. Okay. I think the tunnels from Colorado, because I know Colorado is a big hot spot for UFOs, that there's the tunnels that go underground, and then there's the blue hole. I don't know if you know, you're aware of the blue hole. Are you aware of that?
No, I'm not.
Okay, in New Mexico, there is a place called the Blue Hole. It's a it's a round circular pond, like a water. They call it the Blue Hole. And if you go down, you can go down to these holes, and there's tunnels in the water. People go scuba dive. There was a lot of disappearances in the 70s. A group of teenagers were out drinking, and they, you know, fooling around, and they went scuba diving into the Blue Hole, and they disappeared. Apparently, there's these tunnels that go through the Blue Hole all the way to Michigan.
Oh, really?
Yes. Oh, look it up. And they found these. They found the teenagers dead, of course, in Lake Michigan.
No.
Oh my God.
That disappeared. That's terrible. In New Mexico.
No way.
Yeah. So there's. I think that all these tunnels, like you said, the Triangle in Colorado. I think all these underground. I think the underground is full of extraterrestrials.
I agree with you, Jenny.
And I think a lot of them, the military know about it. So, and I know Deuce, am I pronouncing that right? So wish somebody if out there doesn't know, if I'm not pronouncing this right, Deuce, I did a lot of research on that.
It's
Cheryl, Sherry Heckle, she wrote a book on the Deuce papers, and these levels, there's seven of them. And there's some that are run, the military actually are doing research with the aliens, but there's tunnels. These tunnels branch off. So when you did your triangle, is this your own research, or did you already go and do the research about these? That forms a triangle and they're all connected. Is this something that you researched yourself?
I found the triangle through an interesting location. So,
well, you traveled to Colorado and.
Well, I traveled to those places after I found them on maps. But like I said, the flight path, when I think the UFO flew from one national park to the other, that was one leg of the triangle. Then the day before the UFO crash in 47, there was a UFO sighting, they said, in Roswell.
Mm-hmm.
So I drew another leg from Colorado through Roswell. And where did it end up? Down in Big Bend National Park. And then I drew another leg from Guadalupe Peak to Big Bend. And what did I hit? You ever heard of the Marfa Lights? Down in Texas?
Yes, I've heard of that.
So the Marfa Lights, which occur south of the town of Marfa, happen every evening on the southern horizon. And on the highway, they have a visitor center where you can go watch. Mm-hmm. And these lights have been recorded for at least 100 years, but they don't know truly when they've started. But they're dancing lights on the horizon that no one can ID. And this is on our leg of our triangle. So the triangle materialized on a map as I started connecting the dots. So I wasn't using anybody else's concept of a triangle, but I was pulling together research, UFO research, Like I said, the Christopher O'Brien and the Mysterious Valley, that was a huge chunk of information for that northern point on the triangle. And then the Roswell incident, and then other sightings around Carlsbad Caverns. So that's how it was formulated.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So how much did you bring from MUFON to this research?
Well, I've been on and off with MUFON since about the 90s. But and of course, every time you listen to a new speaker talking about their experiences or their research,
it just affirms.
It helps affirm it. Mm-hmm. Some of it always rubs off a little bit. So it's always good to share and hear others.
Yeah. Now, you heard our opening when we were talking about the declassification of the CIA papers. Was there anything in there that was similar to your research for the screenplay?
I have to say I haven't.
You haven't looked into that? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I was doing some reading of your book, and I found it really interesting, the story, the lines, the characters, and your main character. How do you pronounce his name?
Ranger John Sloan.
Okay, and what about the alien?
Arbitrax.
Arbitrax, okay.
Arbitrax is the evil alien controlling Earth.
Okay, now, guys, Sean, Jason, now, yes. Does he sound anything like Ashtar Command that we were...
Yes, he does. Okay. Yes, he does.
In the council, yeah. Did you base any of that on that Ashtar Command? I know you should know what I'm talking about. Hopefully you do.
I've heard of it. I haven't studied it.
You haven't?
So most of this just came out of my head.
Okay. Wow. Well, the council, like Ashtar Command, they overlook Earth, and they have a council, and they observe us, and they're calling the shots. Is your character anything like that?
Oh, absolutely. He's been calling the shots for thousands of years. You know, I grew up watching many of the B-rated movies from the 50s. I grew up in the 60s watching those movies, and one of the movies I really loved was The Day the Earth Stood Still.
That was a cool movie.
Yeah, it was.
Yes, and Gort was the galactic policeman, and Arbitrax is kind of like that, but he stays and watches and protects when he's doing his job the right way. This Arbitrax isn't. Mm-hmm. So
he's evil.
He's gone rogue, you know.
Yes, yes. Please take a look at the story in the book and the YouTube. So the Alien Park Dunes YouTube, that would give you a good look at Arbitrax and what the movie could be about.
Yeah. So how far is he into it, the screenplay?
Oh, well, no, the screenplay's written.
Oh, is it all done?
Yeah.
Trying to sell it?
Yeah.
Well, we're certainly looking for very interested parties, producers, directors. We would like to have options to sell it. Yes.
Yeah,
there's also a future in the story moving on into three more stories after that.
Okay. Did you start any of the second book?
Oh, it's
outlined.
It's all outlined. We're into all of them a little bit. So it's actually a four movie story told all the way and four books. So we have work ahead of us, but this first one is looking really good.
Okay. Sean, Jason, you have anything to add to this story?
Yeah, I have a question.
Go ahead, Jason.
With all your experience and research over the years and everything. Oh, by the way, those Oakleys in your picture were pretty awesome. I like those.
Found the picture. Okay.
Nice. Yeah, I was looking on your site. But,
yeah, Oakley's in our backyard, so it was easy to get.
I was just wondering, I'm sure a lot of people are out there that might be listening, you know, with all your research and in-depth and everything that you guys are doing with the UFOs, what do you think is the chances of being abducted by the UFOs, like if people were to go hang out there and try and search for them themselves?
Good question.
Yes.
I feel so confident about things that are going on at Blanca Peak in Colorado that I personally would not want to go there and look.
Okay.
Let's put it that way. If you go there and you find them, you may not come back.
Oh.
Or you may come back without a memory of it. I think there's so many weird things going on at Blanca Peak that, yes, I would rather look at it from afar.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, well, you know where we're going, Jason.
Yeah.
You know where we're going, buddy.
Yeah, you'll never see us again.
Yeah. Well, have you ever heard of Missing 411?
The
missing people. Now, do you think, I know a lot of people think that a lot of the missing people are Bigfoot or some kind of creature that takes these people. What about aliens? If they might be up in Colorado, there's a lot of missing people in Colorado where you spoke of the peak.
Well, let me put it this way. At MUFON, David has had several lectures there about his work.
The author.
And love his books. I got all of his books.
Yeah, sure.
I believe in Bigfoot, and I think there is the possibility Bigfoot is taking people. But then again, I've heard and read UFO stories where UFOs are picking up people as well. I think the aliens that are here are probably studying us more than taking us away.
That's true. That's probably it.
There's also in one of the meetings that there was an author that crosses Bigfoot with aliens. Like there's a relationship there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes, that's the truth.
I wear a size 15 boot, but I'm not Bigfoot.
15? Oh, jeez, Jason.
The Bigfoot of Southwestern PA.
Yeah. Well, guys, it was really great to have you with us tonight. Where can people find you?
Well, thank you very much. Go to ufotriangle.com and on Facebook and YouTube, Alien Park Dunes.
Cool. Well, thank you again for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
It was great.
Okay. Wow, that was great, guys. What do you think?
Yeah, I love it, man. That was interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I love the artwork in the book. I mean, I know his daughter did all the artwork. I thought it was great. It's a really interesting story, and I like how it's written. It's like a journal. I sent you the one book, Sean, with all the pictures of him when he was him and his wife on top of the vehicle and the cloud formation. A lot of people think the cloud formation is CGI. I don't know.
That's from 96. I was looking at that too.
Yeah. Well, you never know. They could have had that stuff back then. You don't know when they like these. What is that? Project Bluebeam. You don't know when they did all that crazy stuff. Who knows? But they're all connected. The tunnels are connected, anyways.
Yeah, he definitely has a lot of good maps on his webpage that he was talking about. I've actually been scanning over it, just kind of checking everything out, for the last couple of days, and it's very detailed. Like they've definitely done.
They
a lot
did.
Of
they
research.
Put a lot of work into it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of work into it. So it's really cool.
Yeah,
speaking of Project Bluebeam, today a friend of mine sent me this this guy who's from the United Kingdom, and he said that they were going to use Project Bluebeam when the United States was going at it with Castro. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Yes, they did. Yes.
Well, there's a lot of talk on Godlike that they were going to use that for an alien invasion when all this election stuff was going on. I don't know why.
Well, see, here's what the deal was at that time. Cuba, Kennedy went in. And with the ships, and there was a ship that actually had this Project Bluebeam on it. And at that time, the Cubans, they were really, really Catholic. Okay. And from what I understand, what I saw from this guy, I'll send you the thing. They were going to do a hologram of the Virgin Mary over Cuba.
Oh, well, I can see that. Do you think maybe that has what Magigoria is and all that? Do you think that could be like one of them Project Bluebeams, maybe?
Very possible. I don't know. But back in the 60s, though, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, they have that kind of technology. You're right. It is kind of charming. What do you, Jason, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, anything is possible. I was actually, I wanted to bring up something that I had as an a thought regarding the CIA protecting everything.
Mm-hmm.
How it all, you know, is all public now. But if you remember back, well, I mean, obviously we wouldn't remember, but Orson Welles came out with War of the Worlds in 1938.
Yeah.
As that radio broadcast about like aliens invading, and it caused such chaos. Like people were committing suicide, people were fleeing. Like it was just totally crazy. And I remember my grandma telling me stories about that. Now that was 1938, and a lot of the files from what I've seen, you know, just scanning through on the CIA page there. You know, we're looking at like the 50s, you know, late 40s, 70s. Like, do we think that they saw what happened with the Orson Welles just radio broadcast and how chaotic it became for people, that they're like, we need to classify what we find because this stuff is real and we don't want people really finding out about it?
That's true. Cause you said that's a really good point. Cause that made people go crazy.
Yeah.
Yes. That's true.
In my, fourth book, the prelude, prequel to From the Sky, it's called Origin. It starts out in 1938 with the War of the Wars. And what happens in the main character's mother, she's listening to the broadcast and she totally freaks out, hides the kids in the upstairs, and she's a smoker and she catches the whole house on fire. And
oh, geez.
Leaves, like one character an orphan. Yeah, so that's where I
damn.
I'm all about dread, grim. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I listened to that when it was on. They rebroadcasted that. Oh, what year was it? John, do you know when they rebroadcasted that? God.
Well, they came out
that long ago.
70s. Maybe
it's the 70s, and there was something else like it they did.
Well, they made the movie, the original movie, and then they actually remade that movie in the earlier 2000s or 2000, like somewhere around there.
No, not Tom Hanks, Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I tell you what, it was pretty good. I like the remake, you know. And it's funny because we're so used to all this technology and CGI and all this stuff. So when you watch the original one, you're like, how were people afraid of this? But then you got to take a step back and figure before even that, they only had radio. So when people tuned in to the radio, if they missed the first, you know, minute or two where they said this is for entertainment only kind of thing, they're tuning in and they're talking about aliens invading, and you know, so it was a whole different spectrum then, you know.
They said UFOs are the big thing now, so we'll see. I haven't seen a good UFO movie in a while, so I'm hoping for a good one.
Hey, Jen, yes. Jen, have you seen anything paranormal around your house lately?
Actually, it's been kind of quiet. It's been actually kind of quiet since I got rid of that Ouija board. I'm not kidding you.
You didn't burn it, did you?
No, actually, I'm serious. It's weird because my dog kept on going into, we had it in the hall cupboards on the top rack. And I always wondered why my dog would always go in there and open the door. And she still does it. So ever since I got rid of it, I put it in the garbage. But I swear I know you're supposed to go. I'm not going to go bury it. I know. In futsal, I'm not going outside. The ground's too hard anyways.
So now we got a possessed landfill somewhere.
Somewhere. Yeah, but it's like as soon as I got rid of it, all the weird stuff went away. Something happened today. I'm not kidding you. It's quiet.
We've had some stuff here recently, nothing crazy, but, you know, just some lights turning on and off, some weird sounds coming from different parts of the house that are out of the ordinary. And, you know, it's cool. You know, there's still spirits here. But
are you ever going to do the investigation? I mean, we do it all the time.
Oh, we've investigated my house here, I don't know what, Sean, at least a half a dozen times.
Easy. Three or four.
And we always catch something.
And they always come back.
my son felt something on Christmas Eve. That was about it. Nothing out of the ordinary. But I'm taking a course on screenplay writing. I took one a couple years ago, and it says you find a screenplay that you want to you know, that's interesting to you. My genre is like weird stuff, paranormal, aliens, ghosts. So I'm reading The Conjuring, the script. You guys should do, you should read the script for it. It scares the hell out of me more so than the movie itself. So it's like the Warrens were so bizarre. You know, it's like you know, they're just crazy people. I mean, how many stories were the Warrens? How many were The Conjuring, Annabelle?
And The Conjuring too.
Was there Insidious? Was that them too?
Yeah, those are all linked together. And it's crazy because when you watch them all separate, you don't really pay attention until you really start thinking about it. But those movies are really like all connected in a way, you know?
Those are really scary hauntings.
Those are
I'm going to collect paranormal. People aren't going to like me, but here's how I feel. Oh, yeah, because there's a lot of people out there that really like the Warrens, okay? Mm-hmm. And to me, from just reading up on them and the different investigations they put into movies, I've experienced stuff that was worse than that. If I go out and write a book about PPS.
Well, what are you doing? Write it.
Yeah, what are you doing, Pat? Start writing.
Write down an outline. I'll put it into screenplay.
figure out how to turn on a word processor on your Mac and start typing away.
I've learned how to do that.
It's about time. It's only 2021.
Yeah, it's not that hard. Or you can even get a program like Dragon and you can talk into it. You can do that.
But you know what? Most of these paranormal movies out there that, or authors of paranormal books, that's how they became really, really popular, because they wrote books. And I look at the Warrens and I see their business and I see their investigation. And I'm like, we've been through that. PPS has been through a lot of that.
To be the devil's advocate, they were the very first paranormal. If it wasn't for them, you wouldn't be doing it probably. So I'm just saying. Sean.
We'd just be wondering what's that bump in the night or that weird scream down the hall.
There's ghost stories going back to Bible times. There was ghosts back then. If you read the Bible, it's pretty scary, some of the stories they have in there.
You know, it's really fascinating. It was like with the Warrens, like, imagine if they had our technology then.
Like, yeah.
Because you know, between the cameras and the infrareds and the full spectrums and these audio handheld recorders that are real small and fit in your pocket, just pick up, you know, unbelievable stuff. You know, I can only imagine them having the kind of technology and equipment that like we have and any of us could just go buy and, you know, learn how to use in a matter of minutes. You know, meanwhile, back then they had like the old reels and the old big condenser mics and all that stuff.
The real deal. So I have a suggestion for you when you go to the Clark House.
Yes.
Bring some Clark bars.
I was just going to say.
That might make him really happy.
It might make him too happy. He might try and jump in the car and come home with us.
Yeah. But next week we have a person who has a good interest in the flat earth. So.
That's going to be interesting.
He believes that the earth is in fact flat. So it should be interesting. So guys, you have an investigation. We want to hear about it. So make sure you take notes. Maybe you'll do a live stream. Let me know. I'm more than happy to do it with you. So make sure if you have an investigation to check out Sean's Pittsburgh Paranormal Society and drop him a message. And you can check out chasingprophecy.com, chasingprophecyradio.com, and our YouTube channel. Like I said, we're on Twitch. Like us on Instagram. I still have my Facebook page, Chasing Prophecy. I was going to get rid of it. I'm having a hard time trying to figure out how to do that. So, guys, it's time to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yeah,
goodbye, Jenny.
Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Make sure you join us next week and check out my author page, J.E. Nicasio, on Amazon. Good night, everyone, and thanks again for tuning
in. Thank you. Good night.
Chasing good night. Prophecy.
Me, but also you. The Pharaoh fast forwards his favorite foreign film, Powder Donut. Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh, man, that's a tongue twister, huh? I'm sorry, I'm going to need a few more minutes. Bulbous Walrus, the Bulbous Walrus.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive.
The owl ran afoul of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some people make a single cup of coffee. Others, an entire pot. At Community Coffee, we make ours with a commitment. Because community isn't just our name, it's our mission. Find us at your grocery store or communitycoffee.com to learn more.